Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Get football fans in a morgue fired up. It's Renegade. It sticks. And it is football season, my friends. Preseason week two, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 2-0, but there's a bigger picture to talk about. Welcome to the final score, the post-game show for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to be doing it all season long. My name is Brian Anthony Davis, and with me is Anthony DeFeo, both of Behind the Steel Curtain. We're so excited to talk to you. Anthony, what's going
hey,
on,
Brian.
My man? Welcome to the final score.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to a great season.
It is going to be a great season. There's a lot of things to be excited about. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I'm not quite sure how to really react to today's football game. Because to me, Anthony, it's kind of like, you know, going on a date with a girl for the first time, or a guy, for you ladies out there, and you go out on that date, and you're not sure how it's going, but she's really hot, okay? It's a hot date, but then she yells at the waitress, she talks about her old boyfriend all the time, and she really doesn't seem interested in anything you have to say, not enthused with you at all, but you're still hoping for another date, but you know deep down that it didn't go well. That's what today's game sort of felt like to me, because with that defense, I kind of had a little uneasy feeling going through it. But, you know, a win's a win. You're glad to get a win. It's preseason. It doesn't count. So there's some underlying issues that we're going to talk about, but some bright spots also. So, Anthony, before we get started, I want to find out exactly your gut reaction, your knee-jerk reaction to the entire game. But first, I want to explain the show once again. Last year, we did the day after the game. It was a Steeler hangover. It was Jeff Hartman and myself with Behind the Steel Curtain. This year, we're going to call it the final score, something we called it in years past. So I'm really excited to be a part of it and be a part of it with you, the listener. Now, here's the thing. This show is predicated on catering to you out there in Steeler Nation. We want to hear from you. So please be sure to call us up. 347-850-8581. That is the number. All you have to do is call. We want to hear from you. We're really excited to hear your opinion. We know we're going to hear some people we heard from all of last season. I want to gauge your excitement. I want to hear your reaction of how you felt about today's game. You could talk about last week's game, talk about the Steelers in general, what you're excited about, what scares you. Whatever. This is Steeler. This is a safe haven for Steeler fans. We're glad to have you here. The show is sponsored by Frank Walker Law. Frank Walker is the top criminal defense firm to call in Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia and home to one of the nation's top 100 ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker. For his PA office, call 412-212-3878 or to reach his West Virginia office, call 304-712-3878. 2089. You should also check out his website, frankwalkerlaw.com, to see how he can help you in your time of need. Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results. So we're going to recap this entire game today. And once again, I'm going to give you that number because we really want to hear from you. It is 347-850-8581. So let's get it started. Anthony, what's your first reaction to today's football game?
Well, you started with a really good analogy, the first date. I mean, it's like it was like a first date with somebody you met online, really. You know, it's really awkward in the beginning, and the conversation is sort of, there's lapses in the conversation, and then at the end, you know, it kind of picks up, and you know, but you don't know if it's because of the alcohol or what. So you're left wondering. You know, that's how preseason is. You know, I mean, it's just you don't know if. Yeah, fine. The Falcons really, really, it made the Steelers' defense look kind of pathetic there in the first quarter and a half. But also, I mean, there was no Shazier, no Bud Dupree. Who else? Mike Mitchell was missing, and if you want to include James Harrison, he was missing. So you don't know, and you don't know what Keith Butler. You know how these preseason games go. You don't know if they're, you know, it's a vanilla defense, and you know, the game, there's really not much of a game plan, especially the second game. So it's kind of hard to evaluate. And then as far as the offense, I mean, there's obviously no Ben, no Brown, no Bell, no Pouncey. So it's kind of hard to get a gauge for, you know, what was going on, but it wasn't a great performance in the first half by any stretch.
No, I agree with you completely. I did not feel I didn't feel like I felt last week. Last week was one of the few preseason games that I actually felt like, wow, this is a good performance, because you don't really get good performances in the preseason. And that was one of the first ones I've ever had in years. And this week was a typical preseason game to me. And you hit everything on the head. Exactly. I mean, the way it's going to play out. You know they're not going to show their cards completely. And this is audition time. We did see some very special things. We got to see the debut of James Conner, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And we saw some guys that played for the first time that some were lackluster, some were impressive, and some were just like, you still have some more work to do. But there's still time for everybody to make this team and make their mark, because this is, I don't know if everybody knows this, and Anthony, I'm sure you're aware, but a few people I've talked to weren't aware of the new rule change this year as far as preseason goes. And it's simply this. There are no cuts next week coming. There's no cuts after the third game. There's no cuts down to 75. Just after the Carolina game, after they play the Carolina Panthers in the preseason, that's when your first cuts are going to be. And the cuts are going to go down to 53. So there's no time to evaluate guys that get cut in the first round of cuts, because there's no first round of cuts. There's one cut, and it's a final cut, and that's it. So guys have a chance to still show everything they can to make this team. And this team could be made next week. It could be made the week after that with good performances. We know guys that are already going to make the team. And then we have guys that they're going to go down to the wire. And that's going to be what we're watching the next couple weeks. You mentioned Ben Roethlisberger. You mentioned no Bell. You mentioned no Bud Dupree, no Antonio Brown. That's true. But we need to see depth, and we need to see a makeup of the team, and that's something I wanted to see today. And there were a lot of guys on defense that will be there on the first team, like a Ross Cockrell, Tuitt was out there, Hayward was out there, Watt was out there,
Willie
Vince
Game
Williams was out there,
the slot.
Yeah, Artie Burns was out there, and that was a poor performance on defense, especially the first six drives. The first few drives when they converted five out of six first downs. We're going to talk about all that. Some of the things we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about grades. We're going to go ahead and give grades to the offense and defense, and you, the caller, could go ahead and do that too. We want to talk winners. We want to talk losers as far as the Steeler end of the ball, and we're actually going to give out game balls today too. So we want to hear your reaction, and let's go to it, Anthony. I mean, our first caller on the line, it's a 954 number, and I think I know who this is, and we're just going to go to the phones and welcome you to the final score. Who do we have on the line?
My name's Jack.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
From Palm Coast. Pretty
hey,
good.
Jack.
Pretty good. How about uh-huh.
Great. Did you say Palm Coast?
Palm Coast, Florida. Yep.
Oh, fantastic, Jack. What's on your mind?
Well, just my surmise of the game today, looking at everything. I think our depths look good. Quarterback, Josh, Hobbs didn't look really good to me as far as solid practice he's had. I thought Bart Houston came in fourth quarter and played a good game, drove the team down, made some good calls, and they looked a lot better under him. And so I just really think that they need to reevaluate, give him some more time, but Bart Houston's looking better than Josh Hobbs. That's all I have. They played a good game.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you calling. Well, I'm sorry, say that?
Thanks, guys.
Well,
thank you.
Have a great one.
You too, buddy. So, Jack, he brought up a good point. The quarterback, I mean, he mentioned depth, and there is depth on that team, and that's what we're seeing, especially at the wide receiver position. There's depth. There's depth on the defense. I mean, so this is possible. This has the possibility to be a complete team. But the quarterback end, I mean, a lot of people are thinking that Josh Dobbs just has the team made, but does he? And are we just writing off Bart Houston too early, Anthony?
I don't think we're writing him off too soon. I mean, the last 2 weeks he's come in. Well, I guess last week he was in the third quarter, and this week I don't think did he get in the third quarter today. I think it might not have been until the fourth quarter, and that's when I mean you have what fourth stringers, third stringers against fourth stringers, that kind of thing. So. I don't think we're writing him off. I just think it's indicative of the level of play, the level of competition he was facing. And I do think Josh Dobbs has pretty much made the team simply because, he was a fourth round pick and he was a high profile quarterback coming out of college. He didn't necessarily have great stats, but he was a high profile guy, so I don't think they're gonna cut him, his rookie year. I mean, especially since he started the first two games. I mean, he hasn't looked great, but again, he's starting against the other team's number one defense, number two defense, probably, like after the first quarter, whereas Bart Houston starting, like I said, starting against a much lower level of competition.
That's very true. Now, the thing about Josh Dobbs is, I agree with you. He's going to make the team. But here's the question that I have is he second string material right now? And I am going to say right away, no. I mean, I've been on record that I'm not the biggest fan of Landry Jones. I think as a person, he's a fantastic guy. But as far as everything else goes, as the guy that holds the chances of the team to go to the Super Bowl, if something happens to Ben Roethlisberger, he scares the bejesus out of me. All right? He's that guy for me that what I'm looking for is a guy to come in and replace Landry Jones. And right now I don't think Josh Dobbs is that guy. I don't think he's a future starter. But for 2017 purposes, we don't need a future starter. What we need right now is a guy that could pick up the slack if something happens to Ben Roethlisberger. And I cannot remember the last time that Ben Roethlisberger played 16 games in a season. And so that's I'm sure I have it somewhere, but it's few and far between. So we're looking for that guy, and depth is very important. And I think the weakest part of the weakest depth on the team is at quarterback, because you have the guy in Ben Roethlisberger, and you don't want to have that attitude that if Ben goes down, that the season's over. Because we've seen it, the Miami Dolphins last year. They went to the playoffs, behind the strength of Matt Moore, a backup.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
That's been my thing for the last couple of years, that I wanted them to strengthen the backup quarterback position. I just don't feel that they have, but they know more than I do. So what's your thought on the backup position and the depth at quarterback?
Well, as far as Dobbs is concerned, there's obviously, I mean, you know, before the word out of training camp, I was listening to Ed Bouchette and those guys who, you know, watch him play every day. And, you know, he said he makes quick decisions. Well, I mean, if you look at his first two games, he basically does. He drops back and he throws to his first target. He doesn't really go through his progressions, and that's indicative of a third string quarterback, a rookie third string quarterback, and that's what you're seeing right now. So no, he's not second string material right now, and he probably won't be anytime soon. So, you know, you're left with Landry Jones, and as far as that goes. You know, if you're looking for somebody, an upgrade over him, well, those guys are named. You just mentioned Matt Moore and Matt Schaub, those kind of guys. And they're not going to be guys like that were available on the free agent market, where people like Mike Glennon and Brian Hoyer, and you saw the kind of money that they got. So you're not going to – it's kind of hard to upgrade over a Landry Jones in free agency. So you're going to have to hope that a Dobbs or somebody like that comes along and can play better. But – you know, if you're looking at just overall his numbers for a backup quarterback, I'm talking about Landry Jones. I mean, they're, you know, pretty close to what Charlie Batch did and a lot of other quarterbacks, you know. So I think for this year, if they didn't feel comfortable with him, they wouldn't have signed him to the 2-year deal. And I don't think they would have drafted a quarterback in the fourth round with the idea of him replacing him this year. They would have tried to go out and get a veteran like they did with Gradkowski in 2013. And you were saying that the last time that Ben played a full season, it was 2014. Then he got hurt in the playoffs, in that playoff game against the Ravens. And Gradkowski, that's the only time he actually ever played for the Steelers. In any meaningful games anyway. Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you pulled that stat out. I do appreciate that. And, you know, the problem, I'm going to end the backup quarterback stuff right now, because I'm the one who always starts it, so I'll just go ahead and end it with this, that the big problem is Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, the Rooneys, they didn't call me and ask my opinion. I think I'm still upset about that.
Me either.
Let's go to the lines right now. We have another caller, area code 646. You are on the final score with Brian and Anthony. Who do we got?
Hey, fellas, what's going on? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Bryce from Brooklyn, what's going on, my man?
What's going on? How you doing?
Yeah, Bryce, what are you doing talking to us? WrestleMania's right down the – not WrestleMania, SummerSlam's right down the street from you right now.
Nah, man, nah. I don't follow it much as I used to, so. That's good. I mean,
I
hope
do.
It's a good event. Yeah, I actually think, as a fan of wrestling, I actually think they need to cut back on the pay-per-views. It got to the point where it was too many of them.
Well,
yeah,
now with the split brand, there's more and more and more. My prediction tonight is this is the last you see of Brock Lesnar the entire time. He's going to lose his belt tonight, and Paul Heyman's going to turn on him. But that's for another show. This is Steeler Football, so I want to hear what's on your mind, my friend.
Well, you know what? I like the foundation. One of the things that I think it's good to look for in preseason is there any continuation from last year? And, I mean, we got some things to work on, but what I like a defense that stiffens up in the red zone. And we have shown, I would say over the past two seasons, that we're going to do that. I think that's a great thing, regardless of if you're stopping them or if you're bending but don't break. And at some point, good offensive teams are going to get in the red zone. And I like the fact that we seem to be able to make the plays we need to make to hold teams to field goals. I like to see that consistency. Obviously, first-team defense came out. I know we've got some injuries, but you don't like giving up the 90-yard drive. I still think that the coverage needs to be a little tighter, and the rush has to be more consistent. But I think if you're going to have to work on those things, best for them – to come out right now. I think the defensive line has been really good all through camp. There's a lot of depth there. I think you got a lot of guys that are playing with a lot of energy, a lot of focus. So I like that. I think our backup offensive line has looked better than it's looked in the past two or three preseasons. I mean, the last few years, that backup offensive line, the preseason has looked horrendous. They don't block anybody. And I like to see that the second team offensive line has really stepped it up. It looks like there's going to be, you know, some good competition in terms of the backups. And, you know, I like what Pittsburgh is developing in case anyone gets injured. Like what I saw from James Conner tonight. Definitely looked a little rusty, particularly in the pass game. But you see the skills in terms of his, you know, his size and being able to get down the field. Ross Cockrell has to play better. I think he can play better, but he needs to do better, particularly in press man. I think there's the ability there to do it. He just got to be more consistent and more aggressive. Overall, you know, saw some good things. First team defense, not a very good showing today, particularly when it comes to getting off the field on possession downs. But hopefully we can improve on that going to the third preseason game.
Okay, you just made me feel so much better about something, and I'm going to tell you what it is. The way that game started out, I was feeling sick because the game should have been 21-0 right away. That's how they just came out of the gate and just destroyed our first team defense. But you're right, they did it, they bent, but they did not break, and that's something that they did last year. And they did continue on, and they actually they did play with a lot of energy. So I will give them that. I do feel better about that. I agree with you everything on Ross Cockrell. He's the guy right now that I'm a big Ross Cockrell guy. I like him. But he's the one who's scaring me right now because he was giving up a lot. But I'm going to go on the other side, the other corner. Artie Burns, a guy we're all excited about, a guy they're raving about. His teammates are raving about him right now. But something that frightens me, and Bryce, I want you to, you could agree or disagree with me on this. What frightens me about Artie Burns is he takes some dumb penalties. He takes a lot of penalties, and he did that on that first drive. And I don't know if his discipline is where it needs to be for a number one shutdown corner. What do you think?
I think that has to improve. All of the skills are there. See, here's the thing, guys. The difference between, you know, there's obvious athletic ability, right? I already got it. But when you play corner, you got to have a certain dog in you. And I think Cockrell is a very cerebral player, but he's got to play with more dog in him. I think when you play with a dog in you, you can actually, if you're not as athletic, that can help you make plays. Artie plays with that dog in him, and I think that leads him to maybe get penalized. So he's got to be more disciplined. But he doesn't have – I don't think he has the mental – he doesn't have the mentality yet and the consistency of a Cockrell. I think Cockrell's a little bit more technically sound. So I think he can get there, though. But he's got to work on that. But I think that's a correctable problem.
Anthony, your thoughts?
Well, Bryce mentioned, you know, Artie Burns has, you know, like the dog, and that's basically saying, you know, he's more aggressive. And that's basically, it comes down to Burns is a really good, at, like you said, press man coverage. Whereas Cockrell, he's a zone corner. He's better at zone coverage. So that lends itself to being less aggressive. And I think that's like the quandary the Steelers secondary is in right now. You know, they drafted Golson a couple years ago. I mean, I guess they drafted him to be a slot corner, but I mean, they drafted him in the second round, and I'm sure they were hoping for something a little bit more than that. And they drafted Cam Sutton this year in the third round, and a lot of people said he has a first round skill set, but he slid to the third round because of his broken leg last year. So, you know, you got these young corners that they drafted with man ability who aren't getting on the field, so you're left with, you know, maybe they want to go to more of a man coverage, but they have to sort of split it down the middle with Burns playing man, and then, you know, maybe Cockrell playing zone or trying to play man, but coming up a little bit short. So I think that's a problem the Steelers secondary has when it comes to their cornerbacks right now, is they have a lot of young talent that can probably play that is capable of playing man. They just can't get on the field. So we don't know how to evaluate them yet.
Very well said. Bryce, give me a stud and a dud for the game on defense. And
well,
don't say, I'm gonna ask you not to say Anthony Ciccolo. He had a great game. We'll talk about him. But I'm talking about starters.
oh, starters?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with my dud is Cockrell. Gotta play better. You're going against, I think, one of the best receiving corps in the league every day. I expect you, particularly when you've shown glimpses of, with help, being able to neutralize A.J. Green, et cetera, you've shown that you can be cerebral enough to play man coverage, to minimize your weaknesses. I need you more focused. I need you more aggressive. He's a dud. Stud, Stephon Tuitt. This guy is really coming into his own. He is tough to block. Because not only is he athletic, his motor never goes. I tell you what, you hate going against those type of guys if you're an offensive lineman, because they just not only match you athletically, they match you with motor and effort. This guy plays with it every single down. He is a load to take care of because it seems like he's in great shape. And third quarter, he just doesn't stop. That's a tough handle. He's a tough out. I think he's a stud for today. Played. He's tough to deal with.
He looked like a man among boys. I just looked at him, just his body, his stature, and I was like, wow, he's just so long, and he's just, I mean, he looked like a giant out there, and it's just, he's someone to watch. He needs to get paid. You think he's going to get it?
No, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get paid. I mean, because I think defensive linemen, look, you know, Keith Butler and Mike Tomlin can talk about this pass rush all they want to. But with the way they've drafted for the defensive ends, the type of defense they want to run, they need ends like that. They got to pay them. They got to pay those one technique ends. I mean, you got two, three, four ends that can one technique and rush the passer. You're talking Pittsburgh went years not having guys like that. So when you've got two guys like this that can be your bookends for the next, you know, 8 years, you got to pay them.
Well, you know, you have another guy on that defensive line, and he went down with a concussion today. We're still going to wait to hear more about the gravedigger, good old Jay Wobble, Javon Hargrave. But that guy really looks like he has made a huge jump from year one to year two in just two preseason games. So that, to me, is one of the best-looking defensive lines I have seen on that team in, I would say, 35 years. I'm going back to Steel Curtain as far as nothing's going to beat that front four of the Steel Curtain. I mean, best of all time, quite possibly in the league. But this is the second best defensive line that I remember seeing. They stay healthy, lights out. That is a fantastic line.
I'm not going to give him that yet because the second best line to me is Smith, Hampton and, you know, Kemo and those guys. I mean, he just couldn't run the football. I mean, but that's the thing. They were two gappers. And you gotta credit Mitchell.
Home.
Yeah, you gotta credit Mitchell. You got to credit Colbert for adjusting the defense, seeing the sign of the times and saying, look, if we wanna try to help the rush, we've got to draft 3-4 guys that'll give us a chance to rush the passer in one technique. They have, and they hit a home run. Yo, Cam Hayward, you knew what Cam Hayward was. His pedigree was what it was. He was worthy of his first round draft pick. But to be able to hit a home run in a second round with a guy on a defensive line on the other side, like Stephon Tuitt, and have two bookends to be able to switch and adjust your defense to get younger, give them credit. Look at what they've done with the backups. They have adjusted their system there on the defensive line and found guys that can fit what they want. Those guys don't back down from anyone. I love the depth. I give a lot of credit to Mitchell, Colbert, and Tomlin for getting this defensive line to where it is. This is a good group. Tyson Alua, good backup player, you know, pedigree guy who's a backup. I'm excited to see what they can do. They're going to be tough to deal with.
Bryce, I love it. Thank you so much for calling in. We want to hear from you all season long, and I'm sure we will. So you take care, and keep on listening to the rest of the show, and let's have good news next weekend. All right, my friend?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Love the show, and I'm sure I'll be calling in again soon.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you later. Anthony, I'm telling you, Bryce from Brooklyn, one of my favorite callers. The guy knows his stuff. So he was bringing it. Oh, yeah, and he will. That's why I knew exactly what to throw to him, because that guy, I don't know what his football background is, and we need to ask him that next time we talk to him, because the guy definitely knows X's and O's, and he knows the Steelers. So I love talking to that fella. And we'd love to hear from you. Make sure you give us a call. You know the number, and I'm going to spell it off to you once again. And it is 347-850-8581. Anthony and I have a lot of stuff to talk about. We are going to come back right after a message from Frank Walker Law, and we're going to come back with our grades for offense and defense. We're going to do winners and losers, and we're going to wrap it up with game balls. But make sure you get your phone call in to talk to us right after this message from Frank Walker Law.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view? That flashlight shining in your face?
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of frankwalkerlaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or frankwalkerlaw.com.
Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results. Frank Walker Law, if you want to be a winner, you call Frank Walker Law. And speaking of winners, we're going to go winners and losers right now, Anthony. And I want to know, throw out your winner and your loser for today's game. Who stood the most to gain today and gained it? And who really dropped the ball? Go ahead, winners and losers, my friend.
Well, I think as far as – I don't know if anybody's going to mention this, but I think LJ Fort was really – I mean, he didn't make a lot of splash plays, but he was really active and really athletic. And it kind of makes you feel better about the depth at inside linebacker. I mean, you know, last year you had Williams and Fort backing up Timmons and Shazier. And now you have Medakevich and Fort backing up Williams and Shazier. So you were kind of worried about that, and you still are. You have to be concerned about that because you just don't know. But I like what I saw from Ford today. And you're talking about the losers too on defense.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, Cockrell. I don't think he played really well at all today. I don't think he looked good. And that's without Julio Jones in there. Not that he would have necessarily had to face off against him, but I mean, he just did not look good. He looked like he was. Out of position just about every pass that came in his direction.
Yeah, that was a rough day for Ross. But one thing you could say about Ross Cockrell, he is a more cerebral player, just like Bryce mentioned. And he is also a guy went to Duke. You're not dumb if you go to Duke. And this is a guy that will adjust. He'll figure it out. And I'm going to go back to one game last year, week 5, against the New York Jets. He gave up a lot of balls to Brandon Marshall, but he also broke up a lot of plays for one of the best receivers in the game. And the guy knew how to play him. He knew what he had to give up, and he knew what he had to take, and he won that battle. I gave up a lot of yards, but did not give up the game and helped win the game with his performance against the Jets. So I did mention that he was scaring me quite a bit today. That entire first-team defense scared me with the way the game was played, especially with all the third-down conversions. But Ross Cockrell, he is one of the guys that you're going to depend on this year. But for today, he does belong in that loser category. As far as my winners and losers, winner, I'm actually going to say Danny Smith. This guy, I have never put him on the winner page. And Danny Smith, his squad looked pretty darn good today. Blocked punt. He had a touchdown from a punt return. And he had a few balls inside the 20, pinned back the Falcons deep. I really liked what Danny Smith brought to the game today. And he really helped them win that game. And you know how important special teams is. And every time we talked about Danny Smith last year, it was negative. And I'm really proud of what he did today. He should be proud of his squad. And that was a great performance by his special teams. And that's something that is going to be glaring. It's something that needs to continue. Now, if I see a kick return for a touchdown, I'm like, okay, that's good. But when I see a punt return for a touchdown, and the way that Trey Williams went ahead and returned that ball for 64 yards, it was straight ahead. He just went boom.
Yeah.
There was no juking.
Aggressive.
There was no jiving. There was no dancing. It was just a straight ahead 5'7" ball of fire just going down the field. And that is something that that team needs. The team needs a guy to definitively take over that role and say, this is the guy. I don't care if he does nothing else but return kicks and punts, a guy like 2009 Stephon Logan, all of a guy 2007 Alan Rossum, a guy from the 70s Larry Anderson, a guy like that that is just there as a specialist. Hey, we have a long snapper that does nothing but long snaps. That's all he does. I want a guy that could be a punt returner and a kick returner. And I tell you what, you got to put Trey Williams on the winner's list because he really helped his position today to try to make this team in a crowded backfield. And, I mean, you're looking at a guy like Niall Davis that, you know, he was okay, but he didn't do anything absolutely spectacular. So I'll go ahead and say Trey Williams, I'm going to put him on my winner's list. Also, you know, I got to put James Conner on the winner list. That guy, when he started out today, he was pedestrian. But as things went along, he started gaining steam. He had a 17-yarder. He had a 19-yard run. He ran for 98 yards on 20 carries. So that's almost averaging 5 yards a carry. The guy looked pretty good. The one thing that is glaring that almost put him on the loser list was his hands. To separate himself and become a player the caliber of a Le'Veon Bell, he needs to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. He did not do it today. I guarantee you that's something he's going to be working on, but the guy has the makings of being a star in this league. He's got a fire in his belly. He could run. He's fast. He's quick. I mean, compared to a Toussaint and a Niall Davis, this guy just looked head and shoulders above. He just has to learn to catch the ball, and I guarantee you that's something he's going to be working on, Anthony.
Absolutely. Yeah, like you said, I was, even though I watched him for a few years at Pitt, I was still surprised at how fast he looked. Like his burst wasn't what I was expecting. You know, they talked all spring and summer about him being a bruising back, and you get that picture in your head, but you look at him today, he doesn't look like a bruising back. He looks like a guy with quickness, with you know, ability to cut back. I mean, he almost broke a couple of runs before being tripped up. When you know, he tried to cut back, and he was tripped up at the last second. So, yeah. And as far as Trey Williams, that's probably all he's ever going to do as long as Le'Veon Bell's on the roster is return punts. So if he can do that, do it. That's what I say, because you don't need Antonio Brown back there, you know, doing it. I mean, in key situations, you want to put him back there with the game on the line, maybe, you know, the 50-yard line, you know, the other team's backed up. But just as far as like, you know, regular punt returner, yeah, if you can find a guy to do that, find him. They've been searching for how many years now? And Brown's, he's what, almost 30 years old? He's 29 now. So they need to find somebody they've tried with so many other guys in the past and it hasn't worked out. So, yeah, if Trey Williams can provide that, then he's gonna find himself on. Because to me, Niall Davis, he adds absolutely nothing as far as from the running back position. He's just not a good running back at all. So, and his specialty is on kickoff returns, and how many chances is he gonna get now with the the kickoff they move up to the 35-yard line. So, yeah, if Trey Williams can show something in these next two games returning punts, he's got the roster made as far as I'm concerned. And he'll be your maybe third running back, fourth running back behind Bell and Connor and maybe Fitz Toussaint if he makes the team. But if he doesn't, then there's your third running back.
Very interesting. My loser list, it's going to shock you. I'm going to put Justin Hunter on the loser list today. Scored a touchdown. I know he scored a big touchdown. However, he really did nothing to separate himself from Sammy Coates or Darius Heyward-Bey as far as everything went. And I don't think I've looked around. I've seen what other people were writing. Nobody really said anything about Justin Hunter. This is a guy, I love his size. This is a guy I want to see make the team. However, he's bounced around. He has that stigma of being a guy that has bounced around. He's had a good camp. He's had good camps before, but he has not translated it that much into football games. I really want to see Justin Hunter go ahead and work to make this team and become an asset. What's in his favor is the fact that Ben Roethlisberger has a good rapport with him and likes him. But he didn't really do anything to stand out where this was a perfect game to showcase him. They tried to showcase him today. He just did nothing to really stand out. I will give him props for having a touchdown. That's all well and good, but it wasn't enough for me. It wasn't a game-breaking touchdown. It wasn't anything absolutely spectacular. So I'm going to go ahead and put him on that list. The only other thing, I was going to cop out and say the first team defense, and I didn't want to go there. I mean, just because we've documented it, and you said at the beginning, they're not showing everything. They don't have everybody in there. They didn't look really good. Cockrell didn't look good. I didn't think Artie Burns looked that great. However, there's still a lot of things to be said. I am not about the defense, so I don't want to go there and just put a whole blanket over there. I think it's a cop-out if I go ahead and do so. I think Justin Hunter has a chance to make this team. I really like what he can bring. He needs to show more. This was his showcase. I don't think he did it, but like we said at the beginning of the show, he has a great opportunity to go ahead and make that team and showcase it next week. So he's the guy, I think, to watch next week. He's the guy that next week is going to be very crucial for him. Another guy to talk about, Sammy Coates did not do anything to really distance himself from that three-pack at the end of the wide receiver stable, who is Darius Heyward-Bey, who is somebody like Sammy Coates and Justin Hunter. I just don't think anybody distanced themselves to be a clear winner. And that's something that I think all of those guys need to do. But Hunter especially, he was showcased, and he was just an average Joe. Anthony?
Oh, yeah, I agree. And you mentioned Darius Heyward-Bey and Sammy Coates. Well, I mean, those two have the upper hand as far as being able to play special teams, whereas I don't know if Hunter can play special teams. And when it comes to Hunter, is he ever going to, you know, you mentioned the rapport he has with Roethlisberger or in training camp. Is he ever going to get that opportunity in the preseason? And if he doesn't get that opportunity, because what's Roethlisberger going to play? Like maybe one or two series next week if he plays at all. So he might not ever really get a chance, you know, I don't want to say a fair shake, but a chance to really show himself in the preseason. And if he doesn't, if he doesn't get the opportunity, then it comes down to Coates and Heyward-Bey. And do you take the youth of Coates over Heyward-Bey? You know, they could both play special teams. So that, you know, if that's an even part of their game, then you go with Coates. So I don't think Hunter really, at this point, after the first two games, has shown much to warrant a spot on a depth chart. All we know is what they've said at training camp. We haven't really seen him in action, and like seen him his best foot, you know, put his best foot forward yet in a preseason game. So I don't think right now he has the team made.
Well, I am rooting for him. I, for one, would really like to see him do it. but next week is the time. So let's go ahead and throw out those game balls real quick. You mentioned who you liked on offense, and I'll go ahead and you go ahead and take offense. I'll go ahead and take defense.
Well, you have to go with James Conner. I mean, his professional football debut at his college football stadium, and he 98 yards and 20 carries. It's James Conner. Without, I mean, it's just obviously everybody knows the story. Everybody knows, you know, how, you know, what he's had to go through to get just to get a shot at the NFL. So for him to do what he did today, to me, that warrants two game balls, but we can only give out one, so I'll give out one to him.
You know what? I cannot disagree with you one iota, kappa, lambda, or mu. And on my defensive end, I'm actually going to go ahead and give out two, just because I want to. So the first one is going to be Anthony Ciccolo. You got to give him credit. We saw what Arthur Motes did last week with 3 sacks. Ciccolo today, 2 sacks, 5 tackles. He was all over the field. Granted, against lesser competition in the second half, but
right.
That guy's, as far as depth, you need a guy like that to stand out. And when he's healthy, I think he looks pretty darn good. So, Anthony Ciccolo, I'm going to give it to you. Another guy who is going to actually give a guy like Sammy Coates and Darius Heyward-Bey some problems as far as special teams would go would be Jordan Dangerfield. Guy looked pretty darn good as far as on some pass breakups and also just – I mean, special teams in general. The guy was all over the field. He looked fantastic. That guy's, I think, wrapping up that safety, that last safety position. So I want to give two out, and my game balls go to Ciccolo and Dangerfield. So we're going to get ready to wrap things up, and we're going to go ahead with grading the team. Now, this is something that I don't particularly love grading a team, especially in preseason. It's really tough because you're not seeing the whole thing, but we've got to go with the eye test today, what we saw with our own very eyes, and we're going to go ahead and grade the offense, grade the defense, grade the special teams. So go ahead and kick it off and give your grade to who you want to give it to, my friend.
You want all three or just one of them?
Go ahead and give all three.
The offense, definitely I would give it a C-, and that's only because of Connor's 98 yards. Defense, you know, they looked really bad in the first half, but they did, like Bryce said, they only allowed they could have allowed 3 touchdowns, but they only allowed 1 and 2 field goals, and they only gave up 69 yards in the second half. Now, granted, they weren't the starters, that they weren't facing Matt Ryan and people like that in the second half, but they managed to only give up 69 yards, and they came up with the two big turnovers, you know, by Dangerfield. And as far as special teams, so I'll give them defense. I'm going to give them I'll give them a C+, just because of the second half. And as far as special teams, you have to give them an A. I mean, and we talked about the 2 blocks and what about Jordan Berry? I mean, he averaged like 40 yards net for the game. So I mean, it was just a great day all the way around for the special team. So I'll give them an A.
At one point, Jordan Berry was going to get my game ball because he was the only star that was shining on that team very early on. So He seemed to be the only guy that was out there earning his paycheck early. But a lot of things started to happen. You started to see the heart of the team. That's what really had me enthused. I'll throw out my grades, and I'm just going to throw them out real quick. Offense, I'm going to go with a C-. I almost went D, but I'm just going to say C- for the offense. For the defense, I'm going to go ahead. I've upgraded them to C+, and a lot of it had to do with what Bryce had to say, just for the fact that, yeah, you know what, they could have given up 21 points right away, and they buckled down when they had to buckle down. And, you know, next thing you know, they weren't giving up anything. They goose-egged the whole second half. pretty much the second quarter. I mean, they scored their points pretty much right away. So that was pretty important to me. And when you can take a team, I don't care who the team is, because and who's playing, because you have equal players on both sides of the ball, and those players shut them down for the majority of that game after a very slow start. So that I'm going to have to go ahead and say C+. As far as special teams go, I got to go A, and I never give the special teams an A. I mean, that was an all-around good effort. I talked about the game ball for Danny Smith, actually putting him on my winner's list. So that's something that he should be proud of, and that's how you make a complete football team. And if special teams is not a liability and it's something you can trust and something that you could rely on as a strength, then getting to the Super Bowl is – a whole lot easier if you don't have that to worry about. So as far as that goes, those are my grades. All in all, can't really sneeze at 2-0 in the preseason. I can't remember the last time they were 2-0 in the preseason. That's something that we would have to go and look up. The information's out there. I just didn't even go and look. In fact, I just thought of it right now. That and $1.50 will get you a USA Today. So that 2-0 means absolutely nothing. It's what happens in September. But, hey, it's a moral victory for me. It's the fact that you're winning those games and you're feeling – I mean, you never want to lose a game. I know the performance right now is the most important thing, but you don't want to lose games, even in the preseason. They've got to feel pretty good about that, and they're on my way. A lot of building between this week and next week. They're going back to Pittsburgh. It's something that they need to keep on trucking, but this could be a special year, and we're just hoping. So with that being said, Anthony, thank you very much for your first time on The Final Score with me. I look forward all season long to working with you, my friend.
Thank you, Brian. I look forward to being on, to being with you every Sunday night throughout the duration of the 2017 season, which I think is going to be a very special one. I don't know if it's going to be the ultimate, but I think it's going to be a memorable season for sure.
Well, my goal is to be talking Punxsutawney Phil with you coming in February and what that groundhog has seen. And that means, and if we're talking about that for a few minutes on the air, that means that we're deep into the season and we're playing for something called the Lombardi, my friend. So that's going to be our goal for this show. We want to hear from you all season long, so definitely be sure to call in. We'll give you the number every week. We want to have friends all season long, Steeler Nation, so make sure you call us. Remember, Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results, sponsor of The Final Score, and also Behind the Steel Curtain for up-to-date Steeler news, commentaries, polls, fun, anything you need, you're going to find on Behind the Steel Curtain. So for Anthony DeFeo, I'm Brian Anthony Davis. This was The Final Score, and we will see you next week, Steeler Nation.